This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. It's something different. We come back to the Sahaba, inshallah. We'll talk about them, inshallah, this year. If it is not in this during this series of halaqat, then the next one. But I just thought about doing something different today. One of the rules of guidance that we need to know, we need to be aware of as Muslims, and it's taken, our rule tonight is taken from an ayah in Surah An-Nisa. Ayah 40 in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do injustice even as much as an atom's weight. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa in Ayah 40. And this part of this ayah, Ayah 40, has included a great principle of our deen. It basically provides a wonderful information about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about our Creator. And it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make acts of injustice. This is what the ayah is saying here. And this beautiful meaning about our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala was emphasized, or has been emphasized, in different ayat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a different ayah, in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. So in this ayah in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah, verily, verily, Allah does not wrong the people at all. But it is the people who are wronging themselves. So verily, Allah does not wrong the people in any way or shape. This is the conclusion that we can derive from this ayah. And the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a perfect justice. It does not allow for any kind of oppression against His servants. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about His justice between males and females, because this is something that is sometimes mentioned, there are some Muslim women who think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored man over them, for example. This is one of the issues that are raised time to time, even within our own Muslim community, right? We are humans and many things are crossing our minds, and we keep thinking about things as we live in this life, and we see things happening in front of our eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about His justice between males and females, He said, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. So He said, and whoever does righteous deeds, this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether male or female, it doesn't matter. Everyone is equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While being a believer, so he's doing righteous deeds while being a believer, those will enter paradise and will not be wronged even as much the speck on a date seed. You know the date seed? If you open a date, any date, and you take the seed out of this date, there is a small spot at the back of this seed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is called naqir in Arabic language. It's a small mark that is found on a date seed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no one will be wronged even as much the speck of a date seed, on a date seed. In a different ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, negated injustice from His judgments, from His deeds, and He said, about talking about some people, He said, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا, that people will not be wronged, or injustice is not done to them, even as much fatil. He's talking about fatila here. The ulama, they said, the fatil is the thread that is inside the date seed. If you take the date seed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking this language, because the people, the Arabs at that time, were very familiar with this date was part of their daily menu. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So they were familiar with these things. And everyone is familiar with this fruit, right? You take the date seed, and the thread is that it's a small line that is found on the date seed. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فيما يرويه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. O my servants, I have forbidden myself or oppression for myself and made it forbidden among you. So do not oppress one another. Now this beautiful concept should be at the core of our belief, our aqidah, our creed about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah munazzahun ani dhulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far removed from being oppressive. And this aqidah could be shaken sometimes in our hearts when we face some circumstances or some situations. One of them is when we face some, on an individual level, there are some people who face some circumstances, some calamities, deal with some hardship, you know, and they feel that they are being treated unjustly, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates them. And you hear some of them saying, life is unfair. Life is not fair. And basically, when you think about it, life does not give anything, nor does it take away anything. So, in reality, they are blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not blaming something else when they say life is not fair. Or they are complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some other people, they feel that they are so bad, and therefore they do not deserve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they give up. They end up giving up. They give up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they recognize their mistakes and their shortcomings. Instead of turning back to Allah, they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this thought, process tells us that we do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have enough knowledge about His attributes, about His names, about the way He treats His servants, the way He takes care of His servants and this universe and His creation. The second situation, ya ikhwan, might trigger these thoughts. Especially when we watch global news and we hear about, مثلا, the killing of children or women and innocent people during wars, during events of military conflicts. And we feel like, this should not have happened, right? This is what we feel sometimes. And this is a good statement if we question the crimes of the perpetrators. It's a good question. It's a good statement, I would say. If we question the crimes of the criminals, of those perpetrators, those who committed those crimes. But the question could be made in a different way. Why did Allah allow this to happen? Why did Allah allow this to happen? And this question itself could have different implications. One of them could be innocent. We just make this question trying to know the wisdom behind allowing those atrocities to take place. So you are a true servant of Allah. You believe in the wisdom of Allah, in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you make this question trying to know the wisdom behind those events. But without any feelings of resentment or anger towards the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first case here, which is fine. But this question could have a different implication, and it could be loaded with feelings of resentment, of anger, or objections to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are familiar with the arguments of the atheists, they should be familiar with this state. They say, the atheists, those who deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, if He exists, if He is there, So why does he allow all these atrocities to take place? This is one of their arguments. Right? And these people have committed a major mistake that many educated people, I'm not saying educated people, are deceived by it, with this mistake. Because what's happening here, they have a created profile for God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God does not fit in this profile, then He does not exist in their opinion. It's like telling your child, exactly, just think about it this way. You have to behave. You listen to my instructions. And if you don't do, then you don't exist. You see my point here? You tell your child, you have to follow my instructions, you have to obey my commands, you listen to me. You don't do it, then you don't exist. So they expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to operate in this universe, to do things in this universe the way they want, based on their thoughts, on their limited imagination, human imagination, based on their limited knowledge. And if these things don't happen the way they want, then He does not exist. This is their argument. And I want you to think about it very well. So now in this case, we have the man who is the child of Adam, who is limited by his own perceptions, limited by his own knowledge, limited by his own human imagination, trying to control the actions or the deeds of the one who is unlimited in his knowledge, in his wisdom, in his power. Yani, it's not possible, ya ikhwan. How can we really understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supreme being who has created all these galaxies and this universe? And if He wants for something to exist, He will just issue the command, be, and it will be. How can we understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are no words to express the dimensions of His power except if we go back to the Quran, the way He described. If we want to understand the nature of His power, we need to go back to the Quran, the divine statements that are found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. This is in Surah Yasin. When He wills certain thing, He commands it be, and it is. You tell me how? I tell you, I don't know. Allahu A'lam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. That is the nature of His power. If He wants something to exist, He will just say be and it will be. This is what He said. Kun fayakun. طيب, now, ya ikhwan, to have a better understanding of this matter, we need to, you need to think or understand the following points. There are a couple of points that I would like to mention to have a better relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have husnul dhann billah, having good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand few things. Now, the first thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of this universe. He has the ultimate ownership of this universe. He is the king, al-malik, and he is al-malik, the owner. And he does whatever he wishes in his kingdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'll give you an example of a human king. If a human king, مثلا, commanded some of his officers to do some work, and then all of them completed their task, all of them achieved what he wanted them to do, and then he paid one of them his full wages, but he did not give the rest of the officers their wages, then everyone will think that this is an act of oppression. This is an act of dhulm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has denied this. He said this will not happen on the Day of Judgment. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ. Then everyone will have his own reward on the Day of Judgment. Whether he is a male or female, a black or white, he speaks English or Arabic or Chinese, it doesn't matter. All humans, all his servants are equal in front of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of them will be paid their reward with full justice, with his ultimate justice subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if this same king gives any expensive gifts from his own money, not from the treasury of the state, from his own money, he gives expensive gifts to some of his people, and then he doesn't give the other people, no one will think that this is an act of oppression. It's his money, right? He's a free. He decided to give some of his people some gifts. That is his freedom. And it's his money. He's giving from his own pocket. Because he owns this money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns this universe. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. He said, and your Lord creates what he wills and chooses. So someone is wealthy, he would make someone wealthy, someone poor, someone healthy, someone with a poor health conditions, someone intelligent, someone will have a level, lower level of intelligence. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shu'un. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakhluq wa yakhtar. He's the one who creates, and he's the one who makes choices and chooses. This is what he's saying. Exalted is Allah and high above what they associate with him. Subhanallah wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. In a different ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, he said, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. That he's not questioned about what he does. No one can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his deeds and choices. You cannot tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you do that? I'm complaining about that. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this, that, or this, or that, or whatever many you think of. You cannot do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah said, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He's not questioned about what he does, but they will be questioned. Everyone will be questioned about his deeds and actions on the Day of Judgment. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, he said, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. So the meaning of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making question here in the beginning. Do they distribute the mercy of your Lord? Talking about people who are complaining about his decrees. Do they distribute the mercy of your Lord? It is we who have apportioned among them their livelihood in the life of this world and have raised some of them above others in degrees of rank that they may make use of one another for service. But the mercy of your Lord is better than whatever they accumulate. So this ayah is very deep, ya ikhwan, here. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he has given people different things, different abilities, different amounts of wealth, arzaq mukhtalifa, different times to spend on this earth. Some people will die at a younger age. Some other people will still stay till the age of 90 or 100. Some people will pass away. I mean, people have different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, you know, different things for his servants. But he's saying here that we make it different. Everyone we have given him his rizq, you know, the means of his livelihood. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided his rizq between his people. Now there is something important here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want you to think about this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all people the same amount of wealth, and if he has given them the same level of intelligence, then life will cease to exist the way it is nowadays. And there will be no point of testing. If everyone is wealthy, Okay, so no one will decide to study hard to become a doctor or to become a professional or to do things, to try to do things for the sake of humanity, to benefit himself and benefit the rest of people. Just try to think about it. Think about this the other way. Because people, when they complain about the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, why me? Why he has given so and so, so much money, but I don't have enough money. Now, if everyone is wealthy, everyone is healthy, everyone is the same. Even, I mean, people might complain, some people might complain about the color of their skin, or the color of their eyes, or their height, or whatever. Whatever, I mean, the people complain about, feel resentment about many things, right? But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created people with the same, He has given everyone the same thing, life will be boring. There will be no point of testing people. No one will be tested. Because when they are poor, they are tested with poverty, right? With lack of resources. When they are rich, they are tested by, you know, the same wealth that they are given. It is a test for them, those who are given wealth. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَا in Surah Al-Anbiya. And we test you with shar, with evil and with goodness. As a trial. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ And to us will be your final destination. So here in this ayah, he said, yes, we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given everyone the same thing. But he's saying at the end, وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ That is the conclusion. The mercy of Allah is better than whatever they accumulate in this life. People will compete in this life. We'll try to accumulate more. We'll try to do things, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, at the end, رَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ Yani the Akhirah, in a different ayah, he said, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ The pleasure is of this dunya is something very little, is little. قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى And the day of judgment or al-akhirah, the hereafter, is better for those who have taqwa. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ أَوْ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا So, the second point, ya ikhwan, we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is how He introduced Himself to His servant in Surah Al-Fatiha. If you read Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. These are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many names and attributes, but He decided to introduce Himself to His servant through these two beautiful names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful and the most gracious. He could have used other names in Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening of the Quran, right? And it is the first surah when we open the Quran, we read it. It is the first surah we read when we open the Quran. And we are supposed to recite it on a daily basis in our Salat, more than 17 times. So when we know Surah Al-Fatiha, we'll have a great wealth of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we know the asrar, we understand, if we taste, that we know the knowledge that is in Surah Al-Fatiha, we'll have a good idea about our Creator and Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he decided subhanahu wa ta'ala to introduce himself to his servants through these two names. He's the most merciful and the most gracious, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Rahmah in different ways, in other beautiful ways. In one of the hadith that was narrated by Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he said some prisoners of war were brought in front of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there was a woman who was looking for someone in the crowd. And suddenly she found her child. So she took him, she placed him within her arms, she embraced him, and she started suckling him. Or feeding him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa looked at his companions, some of his companions, and he said, أَتَظُنُّونَ هَذِهِ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ Do you think that this woman will throw her child in fire? They said, never, O Messenger of Allah. It will never happen. يعني, a mother would throw her child in the fire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very important statement, very interesting statement about the rahmah of Allah. He said, Allah is more merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to his servants than this woman to her child, is more merciful to his servants than this woman to her child. And in a different hadith in Bukhari Muslim, this one is found in Bukhari Muslim, the second one is found in Bukhari Muslim too, Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided his rahmah into 100 parts. 100 parts. And he has sent down to this universe only one part, to the earth. One part. You know, all the rahmah, the mercy that you see happening nowadays between mothers and their children, between, you know, even within the world of the animals, within the world of humans. You see this rahmah and this shafaqah that is taking place between humans and between animals? It's only one part from the rahmah of Allah. From what? From 100 parts. And he has saved for his servants, how many? 99 parts of his rahmah for the day of judgment. And he will show his rahmah to his servants on the day of judgment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we know about these things, the automatic, yani automatically we have to have what is called a husnul dhanni billah, thinking well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why in the hadith of Qudusi, in the hadith al-Qudusi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هو الذي روى الحديث لكن فيما يرويه عن ربه سبحانه وتعالى أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. I am to my servant as he thinks of me. So if you think good, if you have a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat you with goodness. You will find this goodness. If you have a bad opinion as a person, if you have a bad opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is what you find. So as Muslims, we are supposed to have husnul dhanni billah, thinking well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بربه. And now none of you should die except in a state of thinking well of his Lord. So at the time of death, the person would think about his sins, right? At the time of death, he would think about his sins. But they said, the ulama, he should think also about the mercy of Allah. And he should have more hope in the mercy of Allah. He shouldn't rely on his deeds, on his good deeds. He shouldn't, you know, start thinking about his, oh, he did this and this and that, and everything will be fine. You don't rely on your deeds, on your good deeds. Because you will enter to Jannah. You'll be saved on the Day of Judgment by the rahmah, with the rahmah of Allah. With the rahmah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our deeds are nothing in this dunya. Actually, he's the one who gave us support, tawfiq. He's the one who helped us to perform these deeds. If it was not for his help, for his tawfiq, for his rahmah, for his blessings, we wouldn't be able to perform anything in this dunya. So at the time of death, the ulama, they said, we should have more, we should think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have husn al-dhan billah, nughallib husn al-dhan billah. But at the same time, we should fear our sins. And if we have these two things combined together, then hopefully we will be happy when we meet our Lord. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So the matter, ya ikhwan, of having a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is important. And if we don't understand, few things that are happening in this world, I mean, questions will come to our minds. Shaitan is very active into, you know, misleading people from the right path, right? And he will try his best to throw shubuhat in our minds and hearts. Shubuhat, yani, is something, unclear matters, unclear questions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about his justice, about things that are happening in this universe. If these things happen and they come cross, yani they cross our minds, then we know we need to go back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we'll find the answers. If you have no doubt that this book is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not write the book, it is a wahi, it is the divine guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to humanity, and it was sent for the purpose of guiding human to the right path that will take them at the end to Jannah. The way of salvation is through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of his messenger. Then we go back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and many things will be solved, many issues will be solved in our minds. And if we understand, as I said, if we don't understand something, then we refer the knowledge of these things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our knowledge is limited. Our imagination is limited. Our qudra is limited to understand things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness over everything. He knows what is happening now, what happened before, the details of every single event in this universe. We don't have this power to understand what happened before. We don't know every single detail. We have مثلا, the subject of history. As humans, we study history. But we always have doubt about history because we have doubt about the reliability of the sources, you know? So if you talk about any event that took place in the past, you will never talk about it with absolute confidence, right? Because you always have doubt about those who wrote this history, those who provided information to us about those events. The future is obvious. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what will happen after tomorrow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, His knowledge has encompassed all these things. He knows the details of what happened in the past. He knows what is happening now in every corner of this universe. And He knows what will happen in the future. And that's why, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدًا. So He's a witness over every single thing. So how can you compare your knowledge and your understanding with His knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala? It will never happen. It will never happen. So that's why as Muslims, if we want to save ourselves from these feelings about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about His justice, al-adala al-ilahiyya, then we have to refer, when we don't understand something, there are things that are in the Quran, we don't understand them. And we wait. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us some knowledge about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some information. I don't want to mention some of them. But I myself, when I read the Quran, there are things that I don't understand. But I hope that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me with knowledge and help me to understand few things that I did not understand. Because I accuse my limited knowledge. I accuse my shortcomings. I don't accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of including false information in the Quran. But now, you know, the new discoveries in technology, alhamdulillah, yani when you read what's going on now, the new discoveries in science, there is nothing that goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Nothing whatsoever. And people are talking. You go to the internet and you see any non-Muslims trying to find, you know, contradictions in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you go to this website. Don't go to them, but those websites are trying to answer Islam. You know, and try to find these things in the Quran. But you know, they always come up with silly things. And it's easy for many students of knowledge to refute their claims. So my point is, we should have confidence about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, confidence about the sunnah of our messenger, the authentic sunnah of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If something does not click very well, does not sit very well in our minds, then we refer the knowledge of these things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we try to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana, wa'allimna ma yanfa'una, wa zidna 'ilma. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge so we have a better understanding of our deen and we'll be able to have a better relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khayran wa barakallahu fikum.